Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply. Understand fully. Mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Send the tweet, send them hot at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. We have the great Brian McKeon with us here for the next 2 hours. We, as always, have the always sensational Ryan Hickey. We might run down Peter Schwartz. It's going to be a regular cavalcade of stars over the next 2 hours of this show. Let me ask you something here, Hickey. Hickey?
All right, let's hear it.
Have I told you how much I love Baker Mayfield lately?
Oh, this is the first time I'm hearing about it.
Have I told you how much I love Baker Mayfield lately?
Never heard that name before.
I mean, that guy against Kansas last year starts wiggling his garbage at the entire Kansas sideline. I go, oh, I don't know about this fella. I don't know about this fella. He had 4 incomplete passes today, Hickey, and 3 of those I think were drops. Some people said they were all drops. I don't know. One of them I don't think was a drop. I can name them off the top of my head. There was one to Njoku. There was one to Chubb. There was one to Higgins, and there was one to Landry, and all of them, I think, hit him in the hands. That's how good. That's how good he was today, Hickey. Do you understand this, son?
And the Panthers' defense is not, you know, rollover, bottom-of-the-league defense.
I look at you. How old are you again, Hickey? You're not that young, but you're not that old.
24.
You're 24. Yeah, you're pretty young. So, have you been a Colts fan your entire life?
I have, yes.
Oh, you bastard.
I know, lucky one.
You've had Peyton Manning your entire life, and then you had Andrew Luck.
Yes, but everyone forgets you had Jim Sorgi, you had Curtis Painter, Kerry Collins.
Listen, first off, Jim Sorgi was a backup. Curtis Painter was a backup. Don't give me this.
No, and
don't give me this garbage.
2014, 2015, I mean, he missed all of last year.
2014, 15, what are you talking about? So you missed 2 years. You still had Luck coming back. You knew you had Luck coming back.
Fair, but I'm just saying, you know, it's
So shut the hell up, Hickey. You have no idea what real pain is, what real pain and suffering is.
I watched Dan Orlovsky quarterback the Colts to a 2-14 year when Peyton Manning hurt his neck.
You got Andrew Luck out of that.
Oh, I'm just saying.
Burn in hell for all eternity, Hickey. What do you mean you're just saying?
2011 was a tough year.
Folks, I get it now. It's been a long time. Like, I've talked about quarterbacks for so long. I've coveted them for so long. I've never had one of my own. And then I see this and I go, what? What were they waiting? This is why Cleveland was such garbage for a long time. Because you had this nonstop parade of clowns who tried to reinvent the wheel. Like, go get your quarterback. Just go get your quarterback. And then fill it all in. Like, you see what the Bears are doing right now? And like, I know Mitch Trubisky didn't light up the Chicago sky. Hold off on it for just a moment here. I know Mitch Trubisky didn't light up the Chicago sky. They still won the game today. They're 9-4. Like, yeah, they gave up 2 first-round picks for Khalil Mack. Yeah, they're 9-4. They're right up there near the top of the entire NFC, friends. And this was a team that I thought, yeah, you know, at the beginning of the season, they won a couple of games, and it seemed to be okay. Like, the closest team to them are the 6-5 Vikings. We don't even take the 6-5 Vikings that seriously around here. They started off, they lost to the Packers. Yeah, it's the Packers. Seahawks, we didn't think were going to be much. Cardinals are garbage. Buccaneers are garbage. Lost to the Fish. The Jets are poop. They beat the Jets. They beat the Bills. The Bills aren't that great. The Lions, who really knows what the Lions are? They're basically styrofoam. Had that ugly loss to the Giants, and then, man, right now they beat the Rams, and the Rams, such a good offensive team. And the front four defensively has been pretty good. and you beat the Rams, and you beat them with defense. You hold them down. You do what's necessary. Mitch wasn't even that great today, and they find a way to win at home. And with this type of win, where I think you could end up seeing this in the postseason, where you're going to have, and I hate using this term, but I'm going to do it, you're going to have to pack your defense, America. Where you just might have to play a little bit of defense to get over. And it all starts with Ryan Pace doing something a little bit unpopular, damning the torpedoes, going after his guy, and basically hanging him over the fence for everybody to see. And a year later, the Chicago Bears are 9-4 and at the top of the NFC North. Hit it. You Bears fans, you're getting it. You're getting it the way it's supposed to be. I waited so long to have a quarterback, and now you know what it's like. You know what it's like to have a complete football team. And now, when we talk, well, you better pack your defense, America. Well, in the NFC, you see this right here, where the Bears were able to take on the Rams and get the Rams tonight. And I don't care about the weather. I don't care about the circumstance. Where you're able to hold Todd Gurley to 11 carries on 28 yards. They should have tried to run him more in that cold weather. Jared Goff threw the ball 44 freaking times. Got picked off 4 times. Mitch Trubisky wasn't even that much better. You want old school high-flying defense? Brother, you got it. We all got excited over that Monday night game some weeks ago between the Rams and between the Chiefs. Those are fun every now and then. It can't be every single week. And I'm watching this team with the Bears. I'm watching the Texans. You have any bit of defense, I'm starting to wonder if you can get to some of these offenses here where everything's supposed to be clicking, everything's supposed to be a system. When you warn this type of defense against a college offense, where you're watching both of these and they're kind of colleged up a little bit, I'm giving Sean McVay a little bit more credit, but we're getting so excited about the college level of offense. If you get some of these machines out of their way and out of their system, you can get in their way and you can win these football games. And here in a few weeks, when we get torqued up for the playoffs, I think it could be some of these more even teams. The 9-4s, the teams that end up being 11-5, 10-6, somewhere in there, that just have a little bit of defense, that play in these black and blue divisions, that might be able to come out on top of it. But for a Bears fan, you got to be excited about it. Because I'll tell you this, just seeing the way this goes, seeing the way that the season is taking shape for my team, and to watch your team, I hope that my team's in the same position as your team is going into next year. The Bears have been a fun story. I love Ryan Pace. I love that he realizes that he only has a couple of years to get something done, just like every general manager should, not on some 5-year plan. And he did what was necessary to put his team over. That's exciting stuff. Those are exciting moves. That's the way it ought to be in professional football. Not some of these long-term timeshare plans about being around for 4 and 5 and 6 years, when a regular career is going to be 4 years, if that. But you're going to give a 5-year plan. Ryan Pace knows that's fool's gold and that's just an excuse. I give the Bears a ton of credit. I give this team a ton of credit. I give Ryan Pace a ton of credit. I'll tell you what I'm pulling for you. Just keep it playing. Turn it up, McKeon. Turn it up. Let it wash over the country. Let it cascade from coast to coast. Turn it off. Still a good tune. Hey, Hickey.
Hey, Ken.
Did I tell you how much I love Baker Mayfield lately?
I may have mentioned it once or twice.
Another thing I got to point out, and I know I'm close to it, and some people are going to say, well, of course he's beating up on Pittsburgh. All right, you can go pound sand. The Steelers fan has had it pretty good over the last about 5 decades. Got Super Bowls. Got great defensive players, got legends, got guys like Joe Green you can hold on to forever, man. Just you got everything's perfect. Everything is seemingly perfect the way the Steelers have done things. Great coaches. couple of great quarterbacks. Things have been fantastic for a Steelers fan. So don't take this the wrong way overall. I know that in the terms of being a fan, for the overall feeling of what the Steelers have been, you still got the bull by the stones. I got it. But if you're a Steelers fan out there, this generation of Steelers, you have to be absolutely disgusted with them. To go to Oakland and lose that game today, and I don't care about the turf, to find a way to lose to the Oakland Raiders, where John Gruden is taking football and basically turning it into a video game, into his own fantasy football team, and somehow this is going to embolden him to make another stupid move for the Oakland Raiders before they move to Las Vegas, so he has even more money and more currency, and he can go and make other stupid moves with the Raiders. So this is only going to embolden him and hurt Raider football for the long term. And you went out there, played his game, lost on the bad turf. You shouldn't even have been close enough in the first place. Because I'll tell you what, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a football team, and some of you got so upset with me last week when I told you the truth about your own football team. I hope you start to see the truth about your football team now, because you'll call in tomorrow morning to the morning show out at 93.7, and you'll call in to my buddy Pony in the afternoon with Mueller, and you'll bitch and moan and say that Mike Tomlin's the problem with this football team. Well, some of you will, but some of you hopefully will be a lot smarter than that and realize that the Pittsburgh Steelers should be a much better football team that should already have a ring with this generation of football players. Antonio freaking Brown doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. Ryan Shazier, who is an inspiration to America, doesn't already have a Super Bowl ring. You're telling me this. Alejandro Villanueva, one of the better left tackles in the league, doesn't have a Super Bowl ring already. You're really telling me this? And you want to know why? It isn't because of Mike Tomlin. It isn't because of Mike Tomlin. His bad time management, like you always yell at me about. It isn't Mike Tomlin and his bad timeouts. It ain't just Mike Tomlin and all those things. But you'll use him as a scapegoat. You'll use him as a whipping boy, just like what they did in Green Bay with Mike McCarthy. Because no one but no one is ever going to blame the quarterback, because he's the guy who runs everything. But if you watch Pittsburgh, 7-5-1, and over the last month, Jacksonville, who doesn't even want to play anymore, you nearly gave them that game down in Jacksonville. Denver, it finally cost you in the red zone with one of the stupidest interceptions I think we've ever seen. The Chargers turn around and beat you in Heinz Field. And then today you go out west. The exercise demons are supposed to happen for you. You're supposed to be able to get out your frustrations on a bad Raiders team, and you embolden stupidity in turn by losing that game and turning around and making John Gruden even stronger in his belief that people want to be a Raider, and that'll only make him do sillier things. So I mean this sincerely when I just said it. You're making the NFL worse by losing to the Oakland Raiders overall. And you go out and you lose that game at 7-5-1. And I see Ben Roethlisberger talking about over the last couple of weeks about how he's reserved the right to criticize his wide receivers. He deserves that right to criticize wide receivers. Yeah, I know, he's got two Super Bowl rings, but when you have the type of players that you have around you now, to not even get to a Super Bowl is a complete and utter failure. To have that talent around you, to be able to reinstall some defense, to be able to install an offensive line over that time. Overall, I know Ben Roethlisberger has been a fantastic quarterback, and he's one of the elites because he's kept their head above water. I give him all the credit in the world for that. But when I'm looking at a football team that's blaming each other, guys who want to get paid, still with that whole cloud of Le'Veon Bell hanging over from a couple of weeks ago, now we got guys who want to talk crap about other players, guys who probably want to say it on the other end, but certainly don't want to rock the boat there, and now you're taking on water and losing not two, but three straight in a pivotal time of the season when you're trying to put hay in the barn as you get ready for the postseason. I'm supposed to take you seriously. As a what? As a Super Bowl contender, this is where it stands out here. You've had guys blaming each other. You've had guys talking garbage about each other. Now you have a quarterback who's supposed to be a leader. And right now, at 36 years old or 35 years old or whatever the hell it is, even though his talent is there, kind of looks like a guy who has seen enough. And a Steelers fan should have already seen enough already. because this has all the makings of the disease of me, in the words of Pat Riley. This team has all the makings of a team that's recently won a Super Bowl and hasn't won a Super Bowl. And at least if they had won a Super Bowl, they'd have an excuse. The Seahawks haven't given me a reason to beat them up, but I'm not coming out here every single night, any night the Seahawks lose, and beating up the Seahawks. Quite the contrary. They'll play on Monday night. They'll play at home. Russell Wilson has a chance to put them over the top, has a chance to keep them in the playoff hunt right as rain, and that's why Russell Wilson is one of the elite quarterbacks in this league. The Seahawks had guys leave, guys talk trash about them going out the door, talk trash about Pete Carroll, talk trash about John Schneider, talk trash about that entire organization, even though they had won a Super Bowl and they were part of the Legion of Boom. But they had the right to do it because they won a Super Bowl. And now these guys want to get paid. They start to think about themselves in a league that it takes the most teamwork to win something, but you should be. You really should, with how the league goes and the non-guaranteed contracts and the look at you one day, cut you the next type of day, type of mentality that they have. It should be the most selfish culture that you can find. So I don't blame them if you win. And then you go and you want yourself. Michael Bennett and going to Philadelphia, I don't give a damn about any of that stuff. But Seattle shouldn't be a good football team. And they found a way to get over it. What's your excuse? You have none. It's the same. We are approaching the same level of disappointment that I have in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Or Wars, depending on how you want to get all upset about it on Twitter if you're one of them goofballs out there. Where you talk that much trash. We're here. We're young. We're going after you. And then you end up messing things up the very next year, and you can't blame it all on a quarterback. Jalen Ramsey wants to talk trash while he's getting boat raced by the Dallas Cowboys, and I can't take you seriously. So you're not the only one that's an extreme disappointment. You've been there a few times, and I thought about this being your environment. You've gotten used to some of the craziness. You've gotten used to some of the grandstanding. But at the most important time of the season, when you're finishing off a division, trying to finish off a division, when you look like you could have ran away with that division, you lose three straight, and the Oakland Raiders are a part of that? Sorry. I put New England in that mix, and they just had an awful loss. I put New England in that mix. I put the Houston Texans in that mix. Kansas City still goes in there. A couple other teams maybe I can't even think of. Pittsburgh's not one of them. I can't take you seriously. You won't let me take you seriously. So you can bitch at each other and moan at each other about what you do get or what you don't get, and Ben Roethlisberger can reserve any right he wants to talk as much trash about anybody as he wants to, while every single year, another team finds a way to get over you. But I'm sure it's going to be all Mike Tomlin's fault at the end, isn't it? 855-212-4CBS. You coming up next. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. I just got done ripping the Steelers. Felt good. And I'm getting the tweets, Ken, it's about the head coach. In high school and college, it's about the head coach. That's who can set the culture in a high school and a college. Because those guys can come and go. In the NFL, it's about a quarterback. You have leaders on football teams. That leadership, that comes from within the locker room. I got all these people. Ken, Mike Tomlin should be fired. Yeah, Mike Tomlin will end up getting fired at some point, I'm sure. But we've been looking at, let me just tell you from experience. You can look, if you look at some of the worst situations, and I've been a part of some of the worst situations in NFL history, I'll just tell you from that experience. I have been a part and a fan of a team that has tried to do it that way for the last 20 years, and they've been a running joke for the last 20 years. You look at some of these football teams around the NFL. Why are the Seahawks still taken seriously? Ain't just because of Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is a fine coach. Pete Carroll has went out and got fired and been on his ass a couple of times already in the NFL. If you don't have a guy who can lead and can play well and can back up what he says, you're going to be out on your ass. Russell Wilson backs up what he can say, backs up what he does. That's why the Seahawks are still taken seriously. You look at the rest of this league, that's where that comes from. You have to police yourself in those locker rooms. And I've been a part of an organization and seen an organization from the outside in and from the inside out that has tried to do it that old college way every time. Every time a new coach would come in, things are going to be different. This is the turnaround here in Cleveland. Things are going to be so much better. And then they wouldn't get a quarterback, and they'd suck up the room, and that guy would get fired. And then they bring in a new head coach. Things are going to be different. And they'd say nice platitudes to make the fan base feel good. Those were the best. You got a blood of your nose here in Cleveland. This is AFC North football. This is tough-ass football here. And then they would get a quarterback who sucked, and they would get other players who sucked, and then they would sign free agents that didn't care and only came to Cleveland for a paycheck because they were always willing to overpay, and then they'd go out there, have their asses handed to them, make the fans upset, and then the head coach would get fired. Hugh Jackson went out there, and we basically had a great big party when he got hired, and he went on my show and said, hey, Hugh Jackson's here, baby, and he won three games in 2.5 years. Didn't have a quarterback, thrown out on his ass. Now they have a quarterback. Now they have some attitude. It's a young, fun, exciting team. How'd that happen? Hey, Greg Williams is doing a fine job. Ain't because of Greg Williams. No. It comes from within. From within the locker room. Not in the coach's office. In the NFL, that's where it is. And when you have guys blaming each other, and when you have the guy at the top, number 7, pointing fingers there, that's not the recipe. If you can point fingers and you can get over the hump, then maybe that's the way you lead. Maybe you can do that. Maybe I'll be wrong in the end and the Steelers will get their act together. Or they'll just continue to blame Mike Tomlin. I know Mike Tomlin's bad with the timeouts, bad with the whole clock management thing and the whole deal. Yeah, but if other guys aren't going to respond to the quarterback or the other guys aren't going to respond to the quote-unquote leader of the football team, you're going to have some problems there. Before, guys used to self-police. Troy Polamalu, Heath Miller, those guys used to self-police. Now, looking for that discipline, looking for that culture. It ain't coming from any coach's office. 855-212-4CBS. Your guys' calls coming up next. Plus, we'll try to fit in some sounding off, but we'll really get to all you guys. George, Billy, Richard, Chris, Steve, everybody hang in there. Going to get to you guys. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next.
This is the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio.
855-212-4CBS. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. You need homeowners. You need renters. You need motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all in one swoop. Geico.com, one of the best websites out there. 1 hour from now, we go over the Week 14 around the league. Also talk a little bit of Urban Meyer and Kyler Murray. I just got to say, I think it's ridiculous that complete adults, fully grown adults, are searching through a guy's Twitter when he was 14 years old, but there is a point to it. And I'll get to that coming up here in a little bit. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Richard in Seattle wants to tell me Mike Tomlin should get canned. He's next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm sitting at the airport in the dark. So I'm really listening. I just wanted
you're
to
in the, wait a minute. You're in the dark. We're at the airport.
Actually, there's a cell phone place you can park and wait to be texted to drive up to the pull through. So I'm actually really listening to you. I have no distractions. It's just you, me, and the glow of my cell phone.
I will turn off Twitter. I'll turn off everything. You have my undivided attention, Richard. Go ahead.
Coaches need to be fired when they do not, and I'm saying this ever so gently, do not win Super Bowls. And I know that that's a horrible thing to say about someone, but Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm not a fan. This is not a call because I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Mm-hmm. I understand that they've had incredible coaches for long tenureships, and they won Super Bowls. If there's no Super Bowl after this many years with this much talent, it's time to go.
Richard, I don't disagree. In the entire scheme of things, there's times where guys have to go their other way. I think I have to look at the entire scheme. The entire argument that I'm giving is that I have to look at the whole scope of things. I don't think that Mike Tomlin's doing an overwhelmingly great job. If they don't go to the playoffs somehow, even though they're still in the driver's seat, if they don't go in the playoffs somehow, that's an out-and-out disaster probably heads should roll. But on the other hand, I got a quarterback that's blaming others. I got a quarterback that has not played overwhelmingly great over the last couple of weeks. And I see this football team that does have talent, and I still need leadership from within. And they seem to not be getting it at the most pivotal time. So Ben Roethlisberger isn't going anywhere because I still need him to get anything done that I need to get done. But, man, it looks like there's a waste going on here. And if Mike Tomlin has to go, Mike Tomlin has to go. But you still might have the same problems that you had in the past.
Well, just one word when it comes to internal leadership.
Ooh.
And I'm not a Patriots fan, but Belichick wouldn't put up with it.
We always do.
Even if it came from Tom Brady, I'm telling you right now that I've seen these exit interviews from these players that say, what was the life playing for the Patriots? No one's talking about what the internal was like. They just want championships. So if the coach isn't the one in charge, I don't know who is.
Richard, we say that all the time, and thank you for the call, and I hope you have a nice, safe flight, or at least pick up, because he's waiting to be picked up. We tell each other that Brady or that Belichick wouldn't take it. How do we know? I can't say that for certain. I know everybody out there is going, Ken, the Patriots. Well, they made him trade Jimmy Garoppolo last year. Who says Belichick isn't going to take that? Hey, we love to do the chicken or the egg thing, and this will easily spin out of control to Belichick or Brady, and who's got the more power? I don't know. Maybe you got to run that one up to Robert Kraft, because it seemed to be last year where Belichick was going to try to wield his power last year until Robert Kraft got involved. And then he just walked down the hallway and traded away Jimmy Garoppolo for just a second-round pick. That was it. That wasn't made out of anger. That wasn't made out of frustration, because maybe he's not the one with all the power like we think he has. Just point that out. 855-212-4CBS. Chris in Baltimore, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Oh, man, I appreciate you taking my call, especially after that Steeler fan. I am so happy they lost. Cause we only
He said he wasn't a Steeler fan. I'll take him at his word. It's fine.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's
I'm still happy the Steelers lost. But I do have a question. I am so happy that Lamar Jackson is doing well. I don't think Flacco will see the field ever again in a Ravens uniform.
Mm-hmm.
My second point is, what do you think about the comment that Patrick Ricard had got caught up in about his homophobic and racial slur? What do you think should be done with him?
Well, how old was Patrick Ricard when he sent it? It says it was 6 years ago, correct?
16, 17 years old.
He was 16, 17 years old. I'm glad you brought this up. I was going to do this about Kyler Murray in the next hour, but I'm going to bring this up right now. I got to tell you here, when I think about this, Chris, when I was his age, when I was 16, 17 years old, I said sexist, racist, homophobic things as a child when I was around that age that I am absolutely disgusted by, and I thank God wasn't on social media. And I mean that every single day, Chris.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
The difference between, I want to say, the average high school student versus the high school athletic student who has a bright future for themselves, they kind of got an idea of where they're going and where they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost want to kind of say I can't give this guy a pass on this one, because he knows what kind of college he wants to go to. He knows what kind of friends he's hanging around with, because it's almost like you got a bright idea of what your future is going to be like. You're an athlete. Your coaches give you ideas who to stay away from, right?
Can we believe in forgiveness? This is a tough one. Can we believe in forgiveness at all in here?
Yes, we do.
Not forgetting, but forgiveness.
Yeah, and I do. Okay. I do understand forgiveness. We should forgive everybody, because we can't point the finger, because there's four pointing back at us. The question I want to know is, if I hit a woman, what makes a difference than saying the N-word or being homophobic?
Well, one's a word, one's physical. Because you go back to Kareem Hunt, you know what that one, according to the witnesses, what she was yelling at him. And I still look at him and I go, you have way more to lose than what she ever did. I still don't know this woman's name. I know about Kareem Hunt, and I'm from that area. So, Chris, I can't condone anything of what Kareem Hunt did. But, man, you're throwing a bunch of questions at the same time. I leave it to this. Stay with me here. Okay. I ain't letting you go. I try to personalize this situation. Twitter, Facebook, it wasn't around when I was young. Thank God it wasn't. But can I teach someone else a lesson from what we're reading here and from what I'm seeing even about Kyler Murray, or remember Josh Allen last year, who was it who pitched in the All-Star game who got it over this last summer? Josh Hader. Thank you very much there, Higgy. Josh okay. Hader got it.
Can I go ask ahead. One more question?
Yes.
This is the guy, what's his name from Philadelphia, the wide receiver? Oh, my gosh, I can't. They
Riley
got
Cooper. Riley Cooper.
Yes. So what's the difference between Bradley Cooper when he's an adult?
Riley
Cooper when he's an adult.
There it is.
The word is the word. We all know that's a bad word.
He's an adult and he should know better.
Right.
When
so
you're
the
a
word
kid,
is the word. We all know, regardless of how old you are, that's a bad word.
Oh, Chris, this is such a good thing. Now, Chris, I do got to run, and I thank you very much for bringing it up. Thank you.
Hey, have a good holiday, too.
You too. This is sociological. All right, let's roll up our sleeves and talk about this. 855-212-4CBS. Anybody wants to get in, you can get in. Most of us live in our own bubble when we're born to the time we're 18. Our thoughts on society, our thoughts on, and if anybody disagrees, wants to correct me on this from their own experiences, you go right on ahead. Our thoughts on society, our thoughts on religion, our thoughts on politics, our thoughts on sex, our thoughts on gender roles, they're all morphed into our parents, into the people that we get. They all come from our parents. They all come from the people we hold closest to us, because no matter really where we're from, some people have a more broad experience than others. That's granted. But for, I would say, 95% of the adolescent populace out there, you are in a bubble. And you don't realize what words do, what words harm who, what you can say in public, what is actually horrible to say in public. Now, I'll admit, I'm one of the people who, I look at some of the things that are said about language, and I will roll my eyes with a lot of other people out there, in full honesty to you. Some of the things that we get quote-unquote offended by are pretty nuts in my generation. However, when we're talking about things like the N-word, when we're talking about things like sexism, homophobia, there has to be an understanding that in this generation, with social media, where we are closer than we've ever been before, these are hard lessons. We can forgive and we can learn. We absolutely can't forget. Kyler Murray was 14, 15 years old. This Patrick Ricard was 16 years old. And it doesn't condone it, and it doesn't excuse it. If you are contrite and you ask forgiveness now as an adult, you can be forgiven. I feel you can be forgiven if you are contrite as an adult, because now that you've been to college, you've been to work, or you've been in the military, you've seen people from different backgrounds from all across the country, people where those words seriously have hurt them in the past, people who have grown up who were called those words, you've seen people from those different backgrounds, and now you start to build your own opinions, your own relationships, you start to become a person who has seen different cultures. Hopefully you've been that way. There are people, hey, you grow up, you live with stupidity, you are stupid, you'll die stupid. There are plenty of people like that. But in a lot of ways here, you grow up, you go to work, you go to college, you go to the military, you see people who are different from different walks of life, and you realize that you got something to lose. And for now, 14, 15-year-old kids, there is a part where this is a dose of reality early, that your words now, while you can think are fun and silly just to make your buddies laugh, just to be cool for whatever reason it might be, will have an impact on you and the people you have around you, the people you hold closest to you, your parents, your friends, your family, for generations when you use that on social media. I'm totally honest when I tell Chris that. We used to crack jokes. We used to say awful things for fun, for stupidity, because you know what? We thought it was fun, and I was absolutely stupid when I was 14 years old. I was an idiot just like any other 14-year-old American kid. And when I got to the University of Akron and I saw people from different backgrounds. And when I started working in radio and I saw people from different backgrounds and I worked with people from different backgrounds and I saw that those people are to be respected, those people come from different situations that I come from, and I started working in a major American city where there's an east side and a west side and there is gender politics and there is racial politics that are involved in here. If I look back at some of the jokes and some of the things that were said when I was 14 and 15, I'd be absolutely disgusted. And my parents would be disgusted, just like they would have probably been disgusted by some of the things that they said when they were 14 and 15 and the generation before that. One of the good things that are happening here is that we are growing as a society and that there are things that we say publicly that are wrong and we don't just overlook them anymore. So I think it's pretty silly that a grown adult would search into the tweets and into the messages and all the stuff for a 14 or a 15-year-old, according to Kyler Murray, this was how long ago, for a 14 or 15-year-old and his thoughts and opinions on the world at 14 and 15. Because we all know there's a lot of dummies at 14 and 15, and what Kyler Murray said was pretty dumb. I think it's a little bit silly, but there needs to be a lesson learned. There needs to be a lesson learned from Josh Allen. There needs to be a lesson learned from Josh Hader. There needs to be a lesson learned here. Because no matter who you are, no matter if you are working at a Denny's right now and getting ready to get off work here in about 8 minutes, and you're 19 years old and maybe you're home for college break. Well, it's December 9th, so who knows. But you're maybe home for college break and you're working a shift or you're working with your buddies. These things, while you think are not going to be brought out, you have no idea. And your whole life could be ruined. And you could apologize all you want. Depending on what you say, it could not be enough. You got to hope for the forgiveness of other people. Why put yourself in that situation? Yeah, I'd say it to my kids right now. If my kids are going to be old enough, God knows what's going to be out there when they're 15 years old. You only got your last name. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass me. And everything you say can be recorded and can be used against you. There's times where we get mad. There's times where we get frustrated. We say things about our friends that maybe we don't mean. We have to apologize to them, and they will hopefully forgive us. But when it comes to a race of people, a sex of people, sexual persuasion of people, that carries a heavy amount of weight. And it carries an even heavier amount of weight when, yeah, you're just some 14-year-old idiot from God knows where and you're just popping off and saying God knows what because you don't think anybody but your buddies are going to laugh and snicker at that. Then all of a sudden you're holding a Heisman Trophy. We're talking about your future in real dollars and cents and having debates over you, and you are now a public figure. And that's going to stick with you a little bit. But we can forgive. We shouldn't forget, but we can forgive. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We got a lot of calls here. Let me get to the calls. Hold off on sounding off. Hickey, you do a fantastic job as always. I want to give you credit for it. We might not get the sounding off tonight, but I want to give Hickey the credit that he's due. Less than 1 hour away, we'll go around the NFL Week 14 style. Coming up next, we'll try to take more of your calls. And you should do what you love. And I'm not going to blast him if Kyler Murray changes his mind. But it's time for him to do what's best for business. It's time to take the ball bat, time to take out the glove, and play baseball. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.